that Rabbi Gamliel used to have the practice to, even though we passed in La Locha like the Beis Hillel, Rabbi Gamliel's practice was on three different issues to be machma like the Shitas Beis Shammai. So the first was that you're not permitted to do Hatmana. So the Gemara said, what do you mean to do Hatmana on Yontif for Shabbos? Yontif Shchali is Be'er of Shabbos. He wouldn't, let's say if he would have a kettle of hot water, he would have a pot of hot soup and the fire is off and he's afraid that the heat is going to
dissipate.
So if you wrap it around with towel, so the heat will be maintained for a little longer. So he wouldn't allow that. That's the machlekes b'sham v'sil. So he wouldn't allow that. So the Gemara wants to know what's the case. What happened over here? Madam Shef, did you make an Erev Tav Shilin? So what's wrong? So you permitted to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos. So what, you're not allowed to do Hatman, and if you didn't make an Erev Tav Shilin, so you're not allowed to cook, so you're not allowed to do any malacha. So Hatman is also something that's forbidden. Hatman is not an Issa Deraisa, but it's an Issa Derabbanan that maintains the heat. Shema Yechata Digacholim. So it should also be yosa. The reason why Hatman on Yontav is muta is because Bishul is muta on Yontav. But if you're doing Hatman a Yontav from a Tzor Yontav, so that's like cooking. Minatari, you're not allowed to cook a Yontav from a Tzor Yontav. Minatari, Midrabban, whatever. You're not allowed to cook on Yontav for after Yontav. And here to do Hatman is also Midrabban. So the Gemara asks him, Yomanav Shach, what is the machlegis Bisham and Misil? If they made an Erev Tav Shilin, so everybody should agree that it's permissible to do the Hatman. If didn't make an Erev Tav Shilin, you're not allowed to. So the Gemara gives a few suggestions. The first thing Gemara gives Rav Huna's pshat. Hacham Askin, and we're talking about a case, he did not make an Erev Tav Shilin. No, if he didn't make an Erev Tav Shilin, there's nothing to discuss. So why did Beis Hillel say that you are permitted to do Hatmana? So that's Rav Huna's pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara quotes a brisa that it says, even if you didn't make an Erev Tav Shilin, the bare minimum, the basics, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos. Erev Tav Shilin is only needed min the Rabbanim. And I tell you, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos without an Erev Tav Shilin. That's the Gemara Mitzvah. You don't need an Erev Tav Shilin. So even with the Rabbanim that they require an Erev Tav Shilin, that's if you want to have extra food. But to cook if you want to have a 10-course meal, you want to have soup and cholent and kukul and side dishes and kompot and everything, you want to have all different kinds. So that you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov Shabbos without an Erev Tav Shilin. But a little bit of soup and a little bit of flesh, a little bit of chicken, that you're allowed to do. That's how the Gemara says. So this the kud is the machlokes b'sham and b'silo. That's what we're talking about. Yom Tov Shchali is Erev Shabbos. They forgot to make an Erev Tav Shilin. So b'sham may say, you forgot, you forgot to make Tav Shilin, tough luck. You're not allowed to do anything on Yom Tov Shabbos. This is saying the bare minimum you're allowed to do.
It
goes not only on Atmana, that's Rav Huna's pshat. It goes on doing preparations on Yom Tov Shabbos for the bare minimum. Yeah, that's how Rav Huna says pshat. And then we discussed in the middle, the Gemara says if one forgot to make an Erev Tav Shilin, so you allow him a madlikin loyas haner. We allow you to light a candle. So that's the shaila. What does that mean? If you made an Erev Tav Shilin, then you, let's say some women ben shlich, they have all the grandchildren, they light 35 candles for all the grandchildren, their great grandchildren, whatever. So if you made an Erev Tav Shilin, you can ben shlich on Yom Tov Shabbos all you want. If you didn't make an Erev Tav Shilin, then we only allow you to light one candle. That's what it means. Madlikin b'ayis haner. If you forgot to make an Erev Tav Shilin, we only allow you to light one candle. And if you did make an Erev Tav Shilin, then you can light many candles. That's how Taisus says. And in Shulchan Aruch, someone pointed out that in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber quotes the Machlekes about this. Mechaber quotes other Rishonim who disagree that the Hadlakas haner is always permissible. Even if you didn't make an Erev Tav Shilin, it's always muta. It's not that it's only muta to light one candle. You can light as many candles as you want. And then the Mishnah Berurah has Mishnah Berurah writes that most of the Achrayim say you should be machmer like Tosis. That if one forgot to make an Erev Tav Shilin, he's only allowed to light one candle, that he should see the food. Let's say by Yasa, we have a Shabbos clock anyway. Yeah? But let's say by Yasa, we have on the Shabbos clock anyway, so then there's no need to light even one candle. So you don't light it. It's not a basic minimum to light one candle by Yasa. The lights are burning in another room anyway. There are lights in the house.
How do you say you can light all the candles?
So other Rishonim learn that it doesn't mean that. Other Rishonim say, we allow you the basic pasachas, kidei rachas. But madlikim asaner, that's had to go. Hadlakas aneris is not included in the whole issue.
Could be below as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's how other Rishonim learn. That's how they suggest the Rambam learns. Yeah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, though, that most of the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch hold like Tosfos. They say you should be choshish for Tosfos' opinion that you're not allowed to. It means only one, like you're only allowed to cook one challah and one kedera, one michel, the bare minimum, so you're only allowed to light one kin. Okay.
So that, what about the loshen, the bashen, the low, the
yeah, so that's a shaila. Does it mean he himself is not allowed to do it? No, we say it doesn't mean like that. If he's makne kimcho lacherim, if he'll give all of his flour to someone else who did make an etav shem, then the other person will be permitted to cook everything for him. We're talking over here, if he's not makne lacherim, so the acherim, the other people, are only allowed to cook one challah from him, bake one challah and cook one piece of fish, and light one candle for him. Who had the name? He himself can do it. It's lav davke madlikin boy. Madlikin loyas on it. Slav dav. So that's what Rav Huna says pshat. And that's accepted lalocha. That's how we pass from like Bais Hillel. That one who didn't make an Eretav Shilin is allowed to do the basic minimum. Rav Chep is Rav Huna. Rav Omar, about six lines from the top of Chav Beis. Now Rav gives a second shot in the Mishnah. Hocham asks, you know, that he did make an Eretav Shilin. He did make an Eretav Shilin. So if he made an Eretav Shilin, so why did Bishamai forbid doing Hatmoneh? So he comes up with a new einfall. That what the shiny hatmona b'shamai hold the mucha chamilson that dated the Shabbat to covid. Whenever you cook food on Yom Tov for Shabbos for tomorrow, so if you cooked it early enough in the afternoon, it's not so boiled, it's not so nika that it's for Shabbos. Let's say you put up a kettle of water. So when are you going to put up the kettle of water? Right before lichtpension on Yom Tov, late in the afternoon, 10 minutes before lichtpension. No, that we don't do. We put up the kettle of water, we put up the soup, we put up the flesh early in the afternoon. You put up the flesh early in the afternoon, so you have it could be that you're cooking it for today. It happens that everyone is full. We finished eating at 3 o'clock. Simchas Torah was on Sunday.
Yeah.
But let's say the first day was Shabbos. Let's say if it would have been Simchas Torah, it would have been a Chveis on Friday, you would finish eating the Suda at 3 o'clock. Yes. Everybody's stuffed. No one is interested in eating anymore. Yeah, that's because we ate so much. But theoretically, if you put up the food at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and the Shki is 6 o'clock in the afternoon, so it's not Nikir. Maybe you're cooking the food for today. Maybe you're expecting guests to eat the food today. So that, an Erev Tav Shilin is Matir. But to make an Erev Tav Shilin should allow you to do Hatmoneh, that's clearly for tonight. The Hatmoneh, when are you going to wrap it around with the towels? Right before the Shkia. Not going to wrap it around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If it's not on the fire, it's not going to help. You're going to wrap it around the last half hour, the last few minutes in the day. He takes it off of the fire, then he wraps it around. So that's clearly for tonight. So since it's Mucha Hamilta, Adaita, the Shabbat, the COVID, that he's preparing it for Shabbat, the Bishame holds that the Erev Tav Shilin doesn't know. That's what Rabbi says pshat. And Abaye gives a third pshat. Abaye says, no, the machlokes, Bishama Bisil and the Mishnah is a different machlokes. There is a braisa, Hananya Omer. Hananya had a version of it. We know that on the first daf in the second perek, there is a machlokes, Bishama Bisil, something about Erev Tav Shilin. That Bishama Yamachmer on something and Mesila Lamekel. So what Nakuda exactly are they fighting about? So Hananya is a Tana. And in his braisa, he presents the following version of the machlokes: that if you want to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you have to have an Erev Tav Shilin that has pas. If you want to cook fish, food, vegetables, you have to have cooked something in advance. And if you want to do hatmona on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you have to have had a hatmona from before Yom Tov. Whatever type of cooking you want to do, you have to have prepared from that in advance. The Silo says it's not true. All you need is one Michael prepared in advance, so that allows you to make all the preparations on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So that's the machlokes Bisham and Bisilul here. He made an Erev Tav Shilin with a hard-boiled egg and a matzah, let's say, an Erev Yom Tov. And now comes in the middle of Yom Tov, he wants to do a hatman on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So Bisilul say, fine, he didn't even need the matzah, all he needs is the hard-boiled egg or some other Michael that was cooked on Erev Yom Tov. You leave one Michael. So that's not to you to make all preparations on Yom Tov Shabbos. The Shammai say no. Each and every preparation that you want to do, each and every type of preparation, for Bishul, you have to have a Michael Mavushal. For Afir, you have to have a Michael Datsafui. And for Hatmana, you have to have Elam Ken Hitman Rodyom. That's the Machloikis. So the Gemara had three interpretations, but whatever it is, we don't pass like the Beis Shammai. And Rabbi Gamliel was machmer about some aspect of the Shita's Beis Shammai. We're not sure what the three versions, Rav Huna, with Abaye, with Rav, the three different versions of which machlek is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are we dealing with.
What we do with that look here.
What about that look here? Some also madlikas on there in Bodyom. Hak, the ner is not going to last till Shabbos. I don't know. What Beis Shammai do,
maybe
according to Beis Shammai, what do you do with that block?
Maybe that block is different.
A big candle. Do you have a big
I don't know.
Maybe that block is different.
The Beis Yosef claims, according to the Rambam, the Hadlock is different. You don't even need an Erev Tavshilin. Even if you didn't need an Erev Tavshilin, you can madlik as many Nerevs as you want. But the Shad is according to Tesvah that the Hadlock is not different. So why should it be different as far as this is concerned? That's the Shad. I don't know. Pardon me, that what? Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tosis points out that late in the afternoon. Where does Tosis have? Here the Tosis, Emechabinus Habakas. In the middle of the Tosis, Chabes Amiralef Emechabinus Habakas. The Tosis writes in Masha Nogu Ha'olam. When you have 2 days yontif, one next to the other, they're both weekdays, let's say. So by us, the minig is that you wait till after Tzeisar Kechovim, and then the women bench lich. Yeah. After it's pitch black in the middle of the night, after Tzeisar Kechovim, the women bench lich. They don't bench lich in the middle of the first day because you're not allowed to do a hachana on the first day for the second day. Hachana just to set the table, you're not allowed to do. Kavachim, you're not allowed to do a malacha on the first day for the second day, because the whole observance of the second day is only with the Rabbanan. We make believe that there's a Sfeika Diyem. Truth of the matter, we know the first day is Yontif Deraisa, the second day is only make believe with the Rabbanan. So that's, if you're going to do a malach on the first day for the second day, cook the food, that's not Mishayfim Yontif Lachol. On the level of Deraisa, it's Sofim Yontif Lachol. So in the days of the Bali Atesis, the minig was that the women used to bench lich with their broche in the afternoon of the first day. Okay. So Tais says, how you talking? You're not even allowed to set the table on the first day for the second day. How are you allowed to do a malacha to light the candle? So they point out, Amasha Nogu Ha'olam Lahad Lekaner Miyantav Lachaver Eim Adakta Kimim Hu Laila. They don't wait till see that it should be Tais HaKachavim. Ulel Perashta Dahaviachon, and earlier Tosis said you're not allowed to do anything on the first day for the second, even just to set the table, you're not allowed to. How can you light the candle? So Tosis gives the answer, Yeshleimar, Dal Gav Sheina Laila, even though it's not dark outside, but it still is getting dark. Samachlach Hashir, the sun is on its way to setting. So therefore, you need a light today as well. You need a light today as well. Yes, so that depends. If you have the lights around, if you have the electric lights, you should. So the cloud is a problem. Are you supposed to bench lit? Are you supposed to do hadlokah? What's for hadlokah? And there shall batolah. What are you lighting candles for? Hashada from brachah batolah. Yeah. So some people hold no. My wife doesn't bench lit. When we have the electric lights on, my wife doesn't bench lit. Not only doesn't say the brach, she doesn't like the candles at all. I told her not to light candles. I'm a loch and we don't need it. The lights are burning all over. We don't need any neighbors.
On the second day on,
right? On the second day on, yeah. Well, you have 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row. So she doesn't light. So other people hold know that you do say a bracha because it makes a spirit. Yeah, but that spirit, you can't light on the first day for the second day in order to have a spirit. That's mamish and maloch on the first day for the second day. But in the days of the Baal HaTes, they didn't have the big chandelier on.
Yeah,
so it's getting dark late in the afternoon. So it's dark. So there would be madlik neiris today for today. Madlik today for today. Aye, but how do you say a bracha? How do you say a bracha? Ladik neshal yontif? Yeah. So the Prima Gaudim says you're even permitted to say the bracha as well. Tosis doesn't talk about it. Tosis talks about Mashanoga Lahadlik. They don't talk about Levorech. So the Prima Gaudim raises the issue. Lahadlik is for today. In the Mele, it's a long candle, so it's going to burn into the night also. It's a Marba Bishurim. It's going to burn for longer. How do you say the bracha? So he says, no. He says, I'm allowed to light the candle today because it's getting dark. That's what Tosis said. So there's no Aveira, there's no Malacha to say a bracha. What the bracha is a hachana.
If you don't need the bracha.
No, but he needs that nair not only for today, he needs it for tonight as well. So saying the bracha per se, yeah. So saying the bracha, that doesn't constitute a malacha. saying a bracha makes it obvious that it's also for today. Also, but it's for now also. It's for now also. For now, if I'm lighting today for today, I would not have said a bracha. But I'm lighting for today and for tonight. So to say a bracha is not an additional aveira. But I demonstrate that it's for, so it is for tonight. It's not a secret. You're permitted to have it, to light it today for today and for tonight. That's what Taisa says. It's getting dark. Even while the sun is still shining, he needs the candle for today. So he's permitted to light it today for today. Our meaning is that we don't do that because we have the electric lights on. So what are you going to light candles for? What do you need candles for? So you shouldn't light the candles until it's those who do light candles. Even though you have to wait till after Taisa Kechavah. Yeah, then you have no choice. Yeah, so then it's today's mitzvah. Then it's today's mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on Erev Shabbos to make all the hachanas for Shabbos. So I'm lighting a candle today, for now. Lighting a candle now, for now.
Yeah,
today I do the mitzvah.
That's kibbutz.
When you have 2 days yontif in a row, so the second day yontif is hasfeke di yoima. So the truth of the matter, we know that today's yontif, tomorrow's on the level of the rice. Today's yontif, tomorrow's not yontif. The fact that there's a mitzvah to light candles on every Erev Yontif, that does not, that's a mitzvah the Rabbanan, that's not going to be matami to do a malacha der Isa on the first day Yontif. So in the days of the Balei Atzeis that it's getting dark in the room, so I'm lighting in the afternoon of the first day Yontif today for today, and also for tonight. So you say a bracha also. But Bizman Azeh, you can't light the afternoon of the first day. You're doing a malacha der Isa for a mitzvah the Rabbanan, that's not a hetzah.
I miss the Friday and Shabbat, like this Pesach, coming this next Pesach.
Sunday and Monday.
Sunday and Monday.
Oh, but the mitzvah, the mitzvah, the rice is the light on Erev mitzvah to make our chana.
No, wouldn't have any problem this year. Shabbos is Erev Pesach.
Yontav is Erev Shabbos. So then you're permitted to light the candles. But the chandelier is on. What he needed? No. That's the mitzvah to do hadlokas on Erev on Erev Shabbos. That's a vaday mitzvah. It's not a sveik of the yom mitzvah. Shabbos is a vaday Shabbos. That's a vaday mitzvah.
It's also a possibility that the light may burn out, so maybe that's also taking that concept.
No.
Happened that the lights are cooking out of control. Possible.
Yeah.
Or you light it
without food.
If you light candles,
that's the shaila. Does it make sense if the chandelier is burning anyway and the whole room is flooded with light? So is there really a mitzvah to light neiris? The Pashto says that not.
Even before the electricity, where they needed the light.
Yeah.
But the Nisach HaBroch seems to be not applicable really to the fact that they need the light. Is this a
broker
that
actually the economy first? Yeah,
yeah. Why not? That's a mitzvah mid the rabbanon to be madlik neiris an erev yontif. That it should be, maybe even a mitzvah in atayra. Kibud v'yoyne. Goyneg is the pleasure that you have on Shabbos and on yontif that the house is lit up, and kibud is the fact that I made the hachana mibod yom. We benchlicht on erev Shabbos. As opposed to Leil Shabbos, not only because it's a malacha, even on Yontif, when it's not a malacha to light candles, if it's dark in the room, you're also supposed to light the candles before Yontif begins. Except if it's the 2 days Yontif in a row, then you have the Esek, then you have a problem if you're allowed to. But let's say if it's the first day, you live in Eretz, it's only 1 day Yontif. So the first day Yontif, the proper practice is to bench licht on Erev Yontif. At the mitzvah of kibbutz, to make hachonis in advance of yontif. Hachonis that you should.
So why should you make a bracha with candles? You have the light on.
Right. So Taisus in Bama Madlikin, on the first Mishnah, Bama Madlikin quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, where he says that you cannot say a bracha if the lights are on already. If the lights are on, you have to extinguish all the lights and then turn them all on again. L'shem Shabbos. He says. On the electric light,
okay.
Goes on everything. Yeah, he's supposed to. That's how Rav Soloveitchik used to say. That's how Rav Moshe they quote. Rav Yankee Kamenetsky. That's how they all said. If the chandelier is on, when you go to bench licht on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, supposed to turn off all the lights, right. Turn them on again, the Shem Shabbos, and then light the candles, and then say the bracha.
Yeah.
The purpose of general is not only for seeing. It's a kedusha.
That's the shaiva. Let's say if you have the chandelier is on, is there still a mitzvah to light candles in addition to the chandelier? Or should I say no?
This is the chandelier, the
light. That's the shaiva. Is it garnished? Or maybe the whole mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNer is that it should be light?
Yeah.
It should be light. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, it says that let's say you have a few families eating in the same room. So the Mechaber writes, if the first balabasta, whoever benchlicht first wins, and she said the bracha, and the next balabasta cannot say a bracha. Whoever lights second cannot say a bracha, because the room is lit up already. And the Ramo disagrees with the Mechaber, and he says, no, if the first balabasta lit the candles at this end of the table, and the second one lights in a separate leichter at the other end of the table, so the Magen Avraham calls the Lashon from the Shalot, this Tosefes Torah V'Simcha, it's still more lit up. It's an increase in light over here, and they'll enjoy their food better. If there would only be the light over there, they wouldn't really be able to see so well. So now this is a leichter on each end of the table, Tosefes Torah V'Simcha, it makes sense to say a bracha there also. But they all in Shulchan Aruch, they only talk about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos Yantar means to illuminate, to give Heorah, to give illumination, that it should be light. But if the chandelier is on, the Pashta says that there's no in you.
They have a whole slew of people lighting. Why doesn't the Mashgiach or somebody say that everybody take a bracha levatola?
It's really a bracha levatola?
And you're not makbid, the Mashgiachim and Rabbon.
The Pashta says that it is a bracha levatola.
In the hotel, you don't mind one.
Why?
It's not right.
Neir Shabbos that they eat up.
There is a
Shabbos is more. It makes a roshim because we're used all week long. We're used to electric lights and anersha and Shabbos. And we have flames. In Europe, they didn't have electric lights and flames. It was the same candle on weekdays and on Shabbos. When on Shabbos, they had a silver leichter, and the weekdays, they had a vachadika leichter. That's a shaila. If the electric lights are burning, is there an inyan to be madlik neiris or not? It doesn't make sense. So some are madlik with a bracha, some are madlik without a bracha, and others are not madlik at all. What are you being madlik neiris for? The whole room is all lit up.
What do you think you madlik on Friday and Yom Kippur? You can still be madlik on Shabbos, even if the lights are on.
Yeah, but so you just said.
Those who are madlik, let's say if you have 2 days yontif, so those who are madlik leil sheni, the second night of yontif, after say succumb them madlik chaneris. So if you have yontif, it's called the erev Shabbos, so they should light the candles on erev Shabbos.
Those
who are not, so they shouldn't be. Whenever you have 2-3 days in a row, so everything is lit up already. So what are you going to light more? Let's want to light with a broch in another room that's not lit up. So let's say you want to light another room. Where you're going to eat, it's all lit up already. But let's say in the living room, then another room, and you're going to read. You're going to do something else over there. Diaper the baby, or do something else over there. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. Can you be matlik as haneris bebracha if it's not the makom achila? So there's one opinion in the Rishonim. They quote that the mitzvah, the ikar mitzvah of hadlak as haneris is only the makom achila, that you should enjoy your food better. Because the Gemara says in the last parak in Yuma that blind people don't enjoy their food as much as people who have sight, because when you see the food and it looks delicious, yeah, so then that's part of the pleasure that you have. So that's what some Rishonim say, that the Ike Mitzvah of Hadlakas HaNeris is B'makom Achila. Shalom B'makom Achila, if you want to be Madlik, you can't say a bracha. And we don't pass on like that. There are more passings not so. And he brings a raya from Yom Kippur. He brings the raya from Yom Kippur, that on Yom Kippur, the Mishnah says in Psochim that Hadlakas HaNeris Erev Yom Kippur is Tolei B'Minik HaMokim. That's in Perek Mokim Shenov. Mokim Shenov LaHadlik Madlikim. Mokim Shenov Shelo LaHadlik Ein Madlikim. So the Ramah says our Minik is that we are Madliks, and the Mechaber says since it's only Minik, you don't say a bracha. You can't say a bracha Kiddushonu B'Mitzvos V'Tzivonu. It's only a Minik. And the Ramah says no, that we say a bracha on Chatzi Halam Rosh Chodesh, even though it's only a Minik. So we say a bracha on Hadlakas HaNeris on Yom Kippur and Erev Yom Kippur also. Aye, but no one's eating. So the Ramah says, you see from this, it's a Tshuvas HaRamah. The Magen Avraham quotes a Tshuvas HaRamah. You see that you can say Bachat L'Hadlik Neshal Yom Kippurim, even though the Hadlok is not the Makam Achila, doesn't enhance the eating. So who are the Nami on Shabbat? That's why there was a Minik. A lot of places, the mikveh used to be in the basement of the shul. So the women had to go to mikveh. So where were they benchlicht? So a lot of times they were benchlicht in the shul. So Magen Avraham says that it's not right. It's not a proper practice. It's supposed to be madlik neiros b'deiso. But others said, how can she be madlik neiros in the shul? It's not for makam achila. So they defended, no, that doesn't ishgefela. We don't, the Maramua paskins against that day in Rishon. He can be yoytzah, lokas on there, safidu shloi b'makam achila, barai from Yom Kippur. Other Achranim say, what kind of a rai is Yom Kippur? It has nothing to do with anything. The Gemara says, the reason for the two minhagim, in some communities the minig was bedavka yes to be madlik, it's on there, erev Yom Kippur. In other communities, bedavka not to be madlik, it's on there. So the Gemara says, imsochim, fair makam shenogosh, name of dover echad niskavnu. That the both minhagim boil down to the same motivation, that one of the chamishi nuyim and Yom Kippurim is tashmish amito. So some places they had a minig bedavka to light candles in the bedroom. Married people should light candles bedavka in the bedroom, so they won't be able to have tashmish amito. It's also the shamish mito so we are on there. And the other communities, the minig was bedavka not to have any candles lit at all, so he won't see how attractive his wife is, so he won't be interested in having tashmish amito. So the binhagim, yes to light and not to light on Erev Yom Kippur had nothing to do with the din that you bench licht on Shabbos and Yontif. Benching licht on Shabbos and Yontif could be that it's bedavka connected with achila. And the minig on Erev Yom Kippur to be madlik, yeah, no, to be madlik has nothing, absolutely nothing in common with this. They're different, unrelated minig. That's what the Magen Avraham, the other achayinu tanya against the Ramah, how did he prove his point? From Erev Yom Kippur to all Shabbosim and Yom Tovim that you can be madlik bebrachim mishlevim makam achila, if the hadlaka on Erev Yom Kippur is connected with the chamisha inuim, it has nothing to do with the regular din of hadlaka on Erev Shabbos Erev Yom. But that's how we pass in halacha ma'aseh, like the Ramah against that Mordechai. There's more preferable is more correct is to be madlik bemakam achila, and if a person wants to be madlik shlevim makam achila can also say bracha. So let's say, if you have the chandelier on in the dining room where you're going to eat and you're going to light candles, not going to add kihuzet, not going to add any illumination. But let's say there's another room in the bedroom, it's a little dark, and you would prefer to diaper the baby in the bedroom as opposed to another room. So even though it's not the makam achila, you don't have to make it into the makam achila. So you can be madlik over there also if you plan to use the light, if it's reasonable. Not that you're going to use the light in order to be able to say a bracha. No, if there is a room where you really could use another light, so then be madlik as aner is over there, and follow the Rambam who says you say a bracha even shalom makam achila, and use the leiris in a normal way. But let's say all the rooms which you plan to use where you're going to leave the night, they all have lights. I don't need any more lights. Years ago, the religious Jews were poor. So they couldn't afford. So they, I remember when I lived by my grandparents and years ago by my parents, we didn't leave on so many lights. And today the electricity is less expensive and we're wealthier, so you can afford more. So we leave on the lights on the whole house. People don't jalava on the lights. So today it's not shaykh. What are you going to light another? You're going to light another candle, bench licht in another room. You don't need the lights in the other room. We're going to light candles in the bedroom. You want to go to sleep later. The candles are going to prevent you from being able to go to sleep. So that's why many people don't like it. You have 2-3 days in a row. Right, more correct is to light on the electric light. If it's a bulb, if it's fluorescent,
filament.
So it's assumed that you cannot say a broch, it's not an air, because it's gas that's glowing. But if it's a filament in there with a filament, so that...
In the hospital, they give birth, and they're on a bench by the bed.
Use electric light.
That's not right. They should get a bulb that has a filament.
Filament, yeah.
The more correct is to be madlik in the bedroom. So it's not the makam achila. To be madlik in the bedroom on Erev Shabbos, or Erev Yom Tov, and say a bracha on the electric light. Yeah, that's the kitzur. Shulchan Aruch quotes a big machlokes achrayim about that. You're permitted to light a flame from an already existing flame. You're not allowed to strike a match on Yom Kippur. It's permitted to light from an already existing flame if it's litzorich, if you need it. So let's say you want to cook food on the stove and it's not lit, so you take a candle from the neighbor's stove, which is lit, and you light your stove. That's lahadlik, because you need the fire on the stove to have a warm cup of coffee, to have a hot soup, to have warm flesh and chicken, whatever. Shaz, what about a yartzeit lamp, because the day on which you say yiske? So is that a tzorich or not? So some say, yeah, it's a tzorich mishum kibur aviyen. It's a mitzvah kibur aviyen. So that's considered a tzorich. And others say, vosfar a tzorich, it's a ner shel batola. It doesn't illuminate the house. What do you mean? For the mitzvah, keep it aviyim. You should have done it while they were alive. You should sit and learn some mishnayos. Daven farnamit, do something else. Say yishka, okay, donate some significant amount to tzedakah for keep it aviyim.
You saw a source for fire.
Okay, that's a physical source. They have pleasure from smoking. Okay. So those who hold you allowed it, that's a shayla. If it's shavu l'chol nefesh, if you hold you permitted to smoke, it's shavu l'chol nefesh. So there's not a problem of havora because it's havora l'tzorach. But over here, the shayla is you light a yahrzeit candle on the day in which you say yisker. What is the tzorach over here? So that the kitzur quotes a machlek is del achreinim, Hungarian achreinim have a machlek about this. So some say yes, it's tzorech, because the meaning is that that's a form of kibud aviyim, and others say what's not tzorech. No, the clear bulb, that's only for havdalah to say bar miyari ho'esh. So the Gemara says in the end of brachas, he can only say bar miyari ho'esh if he can see the flame. Let's say you have a flame, but it's covered up with a cover. It illuminates the whole room, but it's covered over. You can't see the actual flame, so then you can't say Bar Mi'aresh. So even though the recent poskim in Europe said you can say Bar Mi'aresh on electric bulb, it's only if it's a clear bulb. If it's frosted, you can't say. Yeah.
What's the whole Indian?
Okay. That's another kavana. Okay.
Not just the Florentines, the other lights, don't mean nothing.
Okay.
The most important than
there. Okay. Okay.
What's the whole Indian if you're invited to someone's house to eat on Friday night, or if you go to shul, the shavu bracha, but you're sleeping in your house, should it be with a makam achila or the makam where you're asleep?
In the Shulchan Aruch it says that the hadlaka is supposed to be bebeiso. Yeah. And if you're madik shalobe beisa, you're not yotze. So that's a shayla. What constitutes beisa? The place where you eat or the place where you sleep? So there, in Shulchan Aruch, they have a lot of rules and regulations about this. So the pashtus is, if one is kavua and one is aroi, let's say I'm going to sleep in my own apartment where I sleep for the last 30 years. This is my apartment. I'm going to eat in the shul. I'm going to eat by the neighbor. Once in a while they invite me over, but the achila, it's not that every Shabbos, every Yontov I eat by them. It's tonight I eat there, and tomorrow morning I'm going to eat my own home. So then the Mokum Shino takes precedence, because the Mokum Shino is Kavua. So if one is Kavua, one is Arai, so whichever one is Kavua wins. And if one is more comfortable than the other, the one that's more comfortable wins. The Gemara says they had Bokrim. He used to always sleep in the dormitory and he used to eat by Balabatim. The Flegnessen Teg. Yeah. So the Balabatim used to treat them like Stiefkinder. They didn't give them regular meals. Their children, they gave regular meals. The Gemara and Erevin described it. So the Gemara says, even though it's Mamish Kavua, they ate every Shabbos and Yontif, maybe every day, they ate by this Balabatim, but they didn't enjoy it. They enjoyed, it was more comfortable for them, the sleeping in the dormitory where the Balabatim were not breathing down their necks. So then the Gemara says the one that's more comfortable, that's called beiso. So if it's clear, one is more kavua, one is more comfortable, one is more private, let's say we're all eating together. I always eat by this family, we always eat together. But they always have a lot of guests, they have 20, 30 people. And they go to sleep, I always sleep in a bedroom upstairs, a private room. So the one that's more private is considered the one that's more comfortable. So then you're madlik in the place where you're going to sleep, the more private. And if everything is equal, everything is equally kavua, and everything is equally private, and everything is equally comfortable, and it's a toss-up between the mokum achila and the mokum shino, one house where I sleep and a different house where I eat, so then it's a machlokes in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, and then we pass and the mokum achila wins. That the place where you eat takes precedence. But that's only if everything else is equal. If they're equally comfortable and equally private and equally kavua or equally aroi, so then the house where I'm going to eat takes precedence.
You have to be
nailed
from the neighbors.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you light
the day
and then you're going out for 5 hours.
I'm going to come back, the lights will be out.
Right.
The unless I light on the electric, unless I set the bracha on the electric bulbs. The electric bulbs will still be on, yeah. If they'll still be on when I come home, so then I'll be nana from the electric bulb. Yeah.
I want the electric bulb when I'm going to sleep.
Okay, so make up his mind. He can say the bracha on the electric bulb in the bathroom also, if it's not fluorescent, if it's a bulb with a filament. He doesn't say the bracha in the bathroom. You can light the bulb in the bathroom,
stay
and walk
outside.
Out and say the bracha outside. Yeah.
But don't the candles look festive, no matter how much light you have, this is the fact that you're
there. Right, right. So that's the shaila. That added feature of the festive nature, is that enough of a reason to warrant a bracha? Or do you say, no, you only say the bracha when you have the main purpose of the hadlaka, namely for illumination? The main purpose of the hadlaka is really mishum shalom bayis. You shouldn't. So the Shulchan Aruch, the simple reading in the Shulchan Aruch is that you only say bracha when you have the illumination, when you have tosefes orev simcha. When there's no tosefes orev simcha, the whole room is flooded with light, and the candles just give aura. Yeah. So the pashtus in Shulchan Aruch is that you would not say bracha, and some say that maybe that's enough of a valid reason to say bracha.
Yeah.
What, those people that what?
Would not write the second night yesterday when they have the chandelier on. Would not write Friday afternoon
either. Right, right. If you have two or three days in a row, so they wouldn't like the second day. So some people set their Shabbos clock in such a way that the light should go off a half an hour before Shkia, so that they'll be able to bench licht. Okay. And the room is dark, so they're illuminating the room. Okay, some people do like that. Some people buy specially a Shabbos clock that goes on, goes off. But the Shabbos says, is that right to use a Shabbos clock? Years ago, people couldn't afford to leave the lights on the whole Shabbos. So they had a Jalavis. So they had it on only, the Shabbos clock only burnt the electricity for a short period of time. But really, using a Shabbos clock is a cooler. You set up a system, we must have spoken. You set up a system on Erev Shabbos that you're going to cause the malacha to begin in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yom Tov. The Mishnah in the end of the first perek in Shabbos has a machlokes b'sham and b'sivol. I permitted to set up a system whereby malacha begins on Erev Shabbos and continues into Shabbos. So the Mishnah has, let's say, a person has a sprinkler system that the water sprinkles the lawn. So he sets it up on Erev Shabbos and it's sprinkling, and it continues, the water continues to flow into Shabbos. Or he has a cloth or wool that he wants to dye a certain color, so he throws it in right before Lichtbench, and the person throws it into a vat of dye, and then the dye is seeping in throughout the duration of Shabbos. At least they have a washing machine and the clothing is going to get washed, so they push the button and the washing machine in the basement, and then they go upstairs, they close the door, they don't hear, they don't see anything, and they bench licht in at Shabbos, and the clothing continues to wash into Shabbos. So that's a machlekes b'sham and b'sillo, and we pasken like b'sillo that is permissible. If you set up a system where the malacha began on Erev Shabbos and it continues into Shabbos, it's permissible. But what if you set up a system where the malacha is on Erev Shabbos, when the malacha is going to begin in the middle of Shabbos? Maybe the Bishilu would be masking with the Bishama that you're not allowed to do. So that was a machlokes about 90 years ago. That was a machlokes in Europe, different Gedolim. So somehow that you're not allowed to do. Even the Bishama, even the Bishilu, who say you're allowed to start a system on Erev Shabbos that continues in the Shabbos, but to set up a system, it should start in the middle of Shabbos. It's hard to figure out such a case. I mean, as man as the way have a Shabbos clock. Days of the Gemara, how can it be? So that was a big machlokes. So most of the Gedolim held that was mutter, and the minority who held that it was also, they were outvoted. So that.
Wasn't this comparable to the like on Yom Ha'atzmaut? Not
only that,
if I call on Friday,
tell the guy to
come into my house on Shabbos,
and soon after. Right, that's what Moshe Feinstein writes. He says, the Hel Gitanoim prohibited on the early Akum, so they don't want you to do Malachas on Shabbos. So here, he sets up a Shabbos clock that the Malacha begins in the middle of Shabbos. So Moshe gives a krech, he doesn't like this whole thing. He says, if the Tanoim would have been alive today, they would have prohibited these Shabbos clocks that start a Malacha in the middle of Shabbos. Ramosha is unhappy about it. So he says, and even though Tonkinim in Lehetere, that we set up a Shabbos clock to turn on lights in the middle of Shabbos, he says, that's only because he really likes the other sheet of the minority opinion that was outvoted. So he says, it was Tonkinim in Lehetere for lights that enhance quote Shabbos. Because the alternative would be, not the alternative would be to leave on the lights the whole Shabbos. The people couldn't afford it years ago. The alternative would be you would sit in the dark in the whole Shabbos. You just have lights that go on, you have candles that'll go on, and then it goes out Friday night. They couldn't afford to leave the lights on, so that wasn't the alternative. The alternative would be, you'll sit in the dark all Shabbos. So he says, no, Mishum Kvayt Shabbos, The minig was angenommen in Lahaka.
It's only related to light.
Because it enhances Kavod Shabbos. Yeah. But he says, let's say you have, let's say you want to take a video of a film that's showing on television.
Set it up before.
Yeah. Let's say a person has a VCR, so he wants to. He's going to miss Nebuch the game, so he wants to take a VCR. He wants to take a video of what's happening on television. So the room where the television is closed, and he doesn't see anything. He doesn't hear the clicking. No one sees anything. So Moshe holds that that's not proper to set up a system. That's assumed to be ksiva. If ksiva or makaba patish. That I took a blank video and I made it into a video that'll show me a baseball game. The Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish from Lemberg, the Beis Yitzchak is mistopic to say that it's ksiva midirabbanan to tape, to make a tape, let's say, or to make a record. In his days they didn't have any tape, they had records. So he talks about making a record, so he considers that possibly ksiva midirabbanan. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach quotes that in his sefer. So he says, why is it only ksiva midirabbanan? Time is, why isn't makaba patish? I had a blank tape. I had a blank record. If I play it on the machine, garnished. And now I play it on the machine. I hear a whole story. I hear a niggin. I hear a drosha, whatever. So now I made it into a record that has significance. I had a blank video that didn't show anything, and now it shows me the baseball game. Rav Shlomo Zalman thinks that that's a makaba patish. They're right if you would do it on Shabbos. But you set it up on Erev Shabbos that it should happen by itself on Shabbos when the game begins. So that's a shaila. Would the Beis Hillel agree to the Beis Shammai that that's forbidden? To set up a system on Erev Shabbos that the Malacha should begin in the middle of Shabbos. So again, so that was a big machlokes 90 years ago. 100 years ago in Europe, that was a machlokes. The majority opinion was that it was mutter. So that's why it was ongenomen lohakel on the Shabbos clocks. And then even years later when they printed the Pirush HaRambam, where he says lechumre, if it's authentic, if it's really the Rambam, where the Pirush HaRambam writes lechumre that the Beis Hillel ask him to Beis Shammai that you're not allowed to set up a system on Erev Shabbos that it begins in the middle of Shabbos. So even after they published that manuscript, supposedly from the Rambam, since it was already ongenum in Lahakel, so they left it by that Lahakel. But then people started using Shabbos clocks for VCRs, and you can run your whole business on a Shabbos clock. You can run a whole factory on a Shabbos clock. So that's where Rav Moshe felt that that's not right. And then he says, Nachzor al HaVishon, he's not so happy about the whole thing. That's what he says, if the Tanoim would live in our generation, they would have certainly prohibited all of these Shabbos clocks. Like they prohibited Amir Eliyakim. Not that he said this is Amir Eliyakim. He said, just like the idea behind forbidding Amir Eliyakim, lest you forget and you do it yourself. So over here also, how can you allow a Shabbos clock? You may forget.
So he says,
and even though the minig is lahakel, sangenum lahakel, so he says, yeah, that's because the Shabbos clocks for the electric lights enhances Kavod Shabbos, because the alternative is that you leave it dark in the house. By us, that's not already the alternative. The alternative is to leave it on. All Shabbos, it'll cost you another 10 cents. It doesn't cost so much more. Okay, so that enhances the Kvod Yontif for the Balavosta. That certainly enhances. Yes.
If you have a sense.
Shaila is though a dishwasher makes noise. So that's a shaila. There is a Gemara in the first parak in Shabbos about a mill. If you set up a system on Erev Shabbos where the mill is running with the water, the river is flowing and the mill is running because of the water, and then you put in all the grain on Erev Shabbos and it continues to grind into Shabbos. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do. Aye, but the Beis Hillel say you're permitted to set up a system where the Malacha begins on Erev Shabbos, it continues into Shabbos. So the Gemara says no, since Apshen Milsa, since it's making noise and it draws attention to the fact that a Malacha is occurring, so that's the Lusad the Shabbat, so that's a Bizoyin of Shabbos.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same
thing. So that's a Pashtus is the same thing. If you have a machine that makes noise, who hears the noise? The question. Who hears the noise?
What about an air conditioner?
Also, Shaila also makes noise, draws attention. That's the Shaila.
If you have a sensor that puts on your light every day, like you have to
outdoor lights.
You mean when the sun goes down, when it's dark outside?
There's no question on whether it goes on every day or Shabbos or since it's
starts.
Also the same Shabbat. Also the same Shabbat. Mean I set up a system whereby the light is going to go on.
But it goes on every day.
Yeah.
It makes no difference.
When is it going to go on? It's going to go on late Friday afternoon.
No, in the evening. At night. It gets dark.
Every night.
It doesn't go on before Lila. It doesn't go on when it starts to get dark. If it goes on at Erev Shabbos, it's okay.
But it goes on the following day, too.
It goes on Shabbos afternoon.
These lights, for instance, on the street, they have a sensor.
Yeah.
They go on automatically every year.
Same Shiloh? This is the same Shiloh?
Would be the same.
Yeah, the same Shiloh. The Ramosha would say it's not right. It's not right to do. It's not right.
What happens when a person passes it? The first time he doesn't know it goes wrong.
That's a different kind of sensor. No, he's talking about a sensor that goes on when it gets dark outside. You're talking about a sensor where people walk by.
That's another.
Yeah. Right. That's another problem. That's why many are careful. Professor Lev, who comes at the Sachas Bashana, he comes once a year to participate. Yeah, Mr. Horowitz's friend. So he writes in his sefer, he wrote a lot about halacha and technology. He founded the Machon Lev. He founded the Institute for Halacha and Technology. So he wrote a lot for the Encyclopedia Talmudit on Chashmal. Much of it was written by him. So in his recent sefer that he put out just a few years ago, he thinks that, and many people follow this practice, that it's not proper to send a fax. Let's say on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, it's not proper to send a fax there to Israel. Because what you do, when you send a fax, it prints out at the other end. So that's Ksiva. So I'm doing an activity on Erev Shabbos that causes Ksiva to occur in the middle of Shabbos. There is in the middle of Shabbos.
After most of Shabbos in Erev Shabbos, sending a fax here. It should be a Noilad.
That's another Shaila, Noilad. But the Shaila is that they permitted to. After Shabbos is over in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to take another 7 hours for Shabbos to be over in America.
So are they
permitted to send a fax to America? Sheyid over here. He used to read the Slonim Rebbe Shalashudas Torah every Shabbos afternoon. I forgot his name, right over here somewhere. He's a relative of mine. Forgot his name. He used to, someone on Matzoy Shabbos used to type up the drosh and used to fax it to him.
It's a ghetto thing.
Huh?
I know a guy like this. He's getting the fax from girls.
Okay, so that's a shaila they permitted to. So this Professor Lev thinks that you're not allowed to.
But even more, at this end.
Could be mokta.
How can he pick it up?
Could be.
Pick up a fax on Shabbos.
It's out of the machine. You can think of it, so it's not the...
Comes out of the machine. And the shaila is it mokta or not?
Is it mokta? It was plain paper 10 minutes before.
Yeah, the same as a paper.
So somebody would ask the shaila, what would you...
I don't know if that's Nylon. I don't know. You see a newspaper that's printed on Shabbos on Friday night, Alel Yontif. I think that's Mamish Nylon Goma. I think a lot of Rishonim hold that's Nylon Goma. Because when you look at the newspaper before and after, it's really a Parim Chadosh. You have a big container of milk and you have a big container of ink. And then you have a big machine and then you have a big roll of paper. And after the paper goes through and it gets printed and folded and cut and everything, it doesn't look at all. I mean, everybody will be able to figure it out, trace it back. If they show you this and this, yeah, it's not that difficult to see how it started from there and it developed into this. But L'chara, the Rishonim would call that Noel Gomer. That should be Muktzeh on Shabbos and Yontov, the newspaper that was printed on Shabbos and Yontov. But we just have a blank piece of paper and somebody wrote something down. Let's say Nachri wrote down a poem on Shabbos. To say that that's Noel Gomer, that I don't know.
I've got a telephone answer issue.
Also, that's according to the Beis Yitzchak, that would be a psaksiva midirabbanon. It's you can't read anything, but he thinks that making a record is psaksiva midirabbanon. According to Avshalom Zalman, he thinks that it's a makav apatish deraisa. So min ha-Torah, there's nothing wrong. The fellow in Eretz Yisrael, he's allowed to do whatever he wants. Well, the shaila is maybe midirabbanan, maybe this Rambam is right, if it's really the Rambam. Maybe they're right that to do a pa'ula bechol, which causes a malacha to begin in the middle of Shabbos.
That's not his Shabbos anymore.
That's the shaila where he is, it's called now.
Yeah.
But where the malacha is occurring, he's causing a malacha to occur in a location that it's in the middle of Shabbos. So Professor Lev thinks that it's also, and he doesn't even write that there's a mokum lahatir. He thinks that he pushes very much that it's also.
Which means he's a pocket receiver.
No, he's not, he doesn't claim to be a poison. He's a professor of physics.
Yeah.
But he wrote so much about Chashmal.
He worked
Shlomo Zalman. Yeah, he worked with many rabbanim.
If you get a call on your telephone.
The following day, like this year, it was Yom Kippur. The Shabbos paper is not mixed on Yom Kippur.
Yom Tov next to Shabbos, we say whatever was mixed on the first day remains mixed on the second day. Yeah, the Shemachona de Rabba.
That's two days
in Taisus. You have Yom Kippur. Yeah,
the
beginning. No, we have Yom Tov next to Shabbos, and something was Noilat Gomer on the first day, so Taisus has 2 days that it should remain Muktzah the second day also. Yom Tov next to Shabbos. Yeah. 2 days Yom Tov, you don't say that whatever is Muktzah on the first, Muktzah on the second. It's the Manam Shachid that the first day has Kodesh and the second has Kodesh. You can't go. Well, Yom Tov next to Shabbos, so that would be a violation. Taisus has 1 day that we're machmir for that. That's called Achana Derab. Let's say this year. So the Esrig was Muktzeh on Shabbos, even though we don't bench Esrig on Shemini Atzeret. The last day you use the Esrig is only Hashanah Rabbah. In the Piyutim, you say on Leil Hashanah Rabbah, it says Shemini Bola Naneya. Yeah. So the Matei Levi, in the Machzeh with the Matei Levi Pirush, he says Shemini Bola Naneya means to shake the lulav and the Esrig. So I remember once I was in Boston. So Rabbi Simon Zechon Lebrach walked over to Rav Soloveitchik. So he said, what do you mean? You bench Esrig on Shmini Atzeres, what does it mean? So Rav Soloveitchik said, no, that's ridiculous. Nobody, there's no sheet anymore. Shmini Bola Nanea means Lenanea B'mitzoltayim. That in the Beis HaMikdosh, that's an expression that appears in Divra Yomim. They used to use symbols as part of the music that the Levi played in the Beis HaMikdosh. So the verb to play that musical instrument, the Divra Yom Shteit Lenanea B'mitzoltayim. Then years later, I saw it's our tefillahs, that's what it says. And that piyut, Shmini Bola Nanea, so they say the Matei Levi says that pshat, and it's wrong, and the correct pshat is Lenanea B'mitzoltayim. So despite the fact that Hashmina says we don't bench Esrig, but the Gemara says since we have to sit in Sukkah, the Talmud Bavli was written by the Misnagdim. Since he's supposed to sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, and the Sukkah is hooked to the Mitzvasai, so they made a chumer midrabbanan, and they have to say hooked to the mitzvahs on the Esrig also, in order that they shouldn't get confused, because the sukkah is going to be hooked to the mitzvahs on Shmini Atzeres. So the Esrig is also hooked to the mitzvahs. So the shayla is, all right, Shmini Atzeres, the Esrig is hooked to the mitzvahs. What about Simchas Teres? Why to hooked to the mitzvahs? No. So Simchas Teres, it's mutter. But what if Shmini Atzeres is on Shabbos, and then Simchas Teres on Sunday? So the Mechaber has two shittas. Those are the 2 days in Taisus in the first pair. If something was muktzeh on Shabbos v'yontif hasmuchim zelazeh, it doesn't matter. Shabbos first and then yontif first and then Shabbos, doesn't make a difference. You have Shabbos v'yontif hasmuchim zelazeh. If something was muktzeh on the first day, so we have machmer to consider that mishmitam achana de rabba, we say it's still considered muktzeh the second day. Why exactly does that have anything to do with achana de rabba is a problem, so we broke our head a little bit about that to try to figure it out. But that's what we have machmer like that sheet in place. That's Taisus Kasha. Why don't you say that? But we don't say like that. The Taisus says you don't say Muktzah Machmer Safik Yom Shoava. If it was really yesterday was Muktzah, and the only reason why it's Muktzah Ben Hashmash is because you don't know when yesterday is over, when today begins.
When we have Shabbos and Sunday, then there's definitely
no.
Shabbos, you know, is Muktzah. There's no Safik there.
Switch.
I mean, his Sundays are Sabbath. This year, Shmini Atzeres is Shabbos. So Ben
Hashmash is Shmini Atzeres. It was Muktzah. It was because he didn't know when Shabbos ended.
Yeah.
But the last second of Shabbos was Muktzah. The first second of Simchas Torah was not Muktzah. Just because I don't know, I can't figure out. But not if it's Safik Muktzah Machmas Safik Yom Shavah. That's what Taisus argues with Rashi and Sukkah and Beitza. So he says, Muktzah Machmas Safik Yom Shavah. You don't say Migdis Katzoy the Bein Hashmashes. wouldn't say. But here, when it was hooked to the mitzvah on Shmini Atzeres, and then the next day is, and Shmini Atzeres, let's say, was Shabbos, then the next day is Yontif Chol. So the Mechaber quotes the 2 days in Tesis, and we're machmah on that. We consider that a problem of Achonah the Rabbi. If you say that the thing, Shabbos enabled it not to be mukt on Yontif, if not for the fact that Shmini Atzeres was Shabbos, and Simchas Torah would have been the day before, would have been mukt on Simchas Torah, because the whole Shabbos day was mafsik in between Hashanah Rabbah and Simchas Torah. That's why it's not going to be mukt on Simchas Torah. So that itself is considered Shabbos Mechina Liyontif. That's the Chumrah of Tesis. We consider as if the whole day of Shabbos is Mechina Liyontif. Not that any activity, not that the Beitza of the Misyal Do'id and the Miyas Mogomola, not that any activity, no Pa'ula Vachana occurred on the first day for the second day. It's just the Mitzvahs of the whole first day being Mafsik between Hashanah Rabbah and Chastera. The Mitzvahs of the day, the existence of the day, is what enables it to be Ois Mukhtam from Chastera. So that itself is Achana Derab. I always used to cut my. It says in the Mogen Avraham, wait to check whether your esrig is a murkav or not. In Shulchan Aruch it says an esrig a murkav is no good because it's the wrong min. So wait to tell whether it's murkav or not is to see how thick the skin is, because in lemons the skin is very thin, and in esrig the skin is very very thick. So if you cut open your esrig after sukkis and you see it's a very thin skin, you realize that you weren't yet to the mitzvah.
You got a lemon.
Okay, so you know not to buy an esrig by that merchant next year. Buy by somebody more honest. So every year I always used to cut open the esrig after Sukkot in order to see. So then the shaila is, when are you allowed to cut open the esrig? So let's say Hashanah Rabbah in the afternoon. Hashanah Rabbah in the afternoon, the esrig is hooked to the mitzvah. So hooked to the mitzvah means you're not allowed to eat it. What if I'm not interested in eating? I'm not going to eat it. I just want to cut it open. But if I cover it open, I passel it.
Yes.
So is that also a violation of hukta mitzvah to passel the yesrik? Or some pregnant women have a very strange meaning. They bite off the pitum of the yesrik. And they say, Yehi Rotzen. They say,
the esrik can use it as a lemon too.
Okay, so let's say to use the yesrik on Hashanah Rabbah as a lemon that you're not allowed to do, because it's still hukta mitzvah until the end of the day. But what if the woman just wants to bite off the pitum? She's not going to eat it. That's just in order to say the Hirotzen. The Hirotzen states in the end of the Mate Ephraim that Chava was punished because she ate from the Eitz Adah. She was punished by Etzev Tel Dibonim. She should suffer when she has a baby. So what was the whole Aveira of eating from the Eitz Adah? So one opinion, a popular opinion in Medrash was that it was an Esrik tree. And what was the whole Aveira? So the Ramban and Chulin, the first Ramban and Chulin, quotes a Medrash that it was Erev Shabbos. And the Eitz Hadas was also up until Shabbos. If they would have waited till Shabbos, till Leil Shabbos, would have been mutter to eat from the Eitz Hadas. They didn't have gedul to wait till Leil Shabbos. So the minhag developed sometime in Europe that a pregnant woman bites off the pitum from the esrig after Sukkot. So she says, Rabbanu Shalom, look, I waited the whole Sukkot. If I would have been there, I would have had gedul. I would have waited. So it's not fair. You shouldn't punish me. Be'etzem tel dibonim. I should be off the hook. I should have an easy pregnancy. So the shaila is, when is this minhag? When is this meaning that you bite off the pitum? Rabbi Kivega tells you to look in this mocker that it has the nusach, that it has the yiratzen that the pregnant women say. So they say, when do they bite off the yesrik? When do they bite off the pitum? So in the Mate Ephraim, they have this source. It says they bite off the pitum on Hashanah Rabbah. On Hashanah Rabbah? That's the Shana. Hashanah Rabbah is hooked to the mitzvah. You should have to wait till Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is also hooked to the mitzvah. The Gemara says, if you live in Chutz Laaretz, and the sukkah is you sit in sukkah at Shmini Atzeres, and not only is the sukkah up to the mitzvah, the lulav and the dalminim is also up to the mitzvah. So the pashtun says you have to wait till Simchas Torah. And this year, it took to the Mechaber says, even Simchas Torah is still hooked to the mitzvah, because Shmini Atzeres was on Shabbos and Simchas Torah is on Sunday. So we consider that a violation of Achana the Rabbi to eat the yesrik. So to eat the yesrik, or to squeeze out, to use the juice from the yesrik, for sure not. That's hooked to the mitzvah. So you're not allowed to use the not allowed to eat it. Not Hashanah Rabbah, not Hashmini Atzeres, and even Machmah not to eat it on Simchas Torah when Simchas Torah is on a Sunday. But the shaila is, what if you're just going to cut it open? You're not going to eat it. When you pass all the esrog, is that also a violation of hooked to the mitzvah? Or maybe you say the hooked to the mitzvah is only violated if you get anor from it. Or let that person has a sukkah, and he doesn't need the sukkah. Hashmini Atzeres is going away to his children. He's not going to be here. Is he allowed to, or let's say he rents a location in the middle of Manhattan, and he has a sukkah, and every day he leaves the sukkah, it costs him another $100. So he wants to take down the sukkah on Hashanah Rabbah. He doesn't need it anymore. So is that a violation of hook to the mitzvah to take down the sukkah? The Mishnah says you're not allowed to take down the sukkah on Hashanah Rabbah because kala yom is manoi. So what does that mean? It means kala yom is manoi mitzvah. So therefore, it's a violation of hook to the mitzvah. Or kala yom is manoi. You may have to eat in the sukkah. You may be tired. You may want to take a nap in the afternoon. Where are you going to sleep? Kala yom is manoi. So that's a machlekes acharonim. In the Kori Hadat, in the back of the big Or HaChaim, it has this machlekes acharonim. And there's a sefer, the Pischei Tshuva, on Or HaChaim. The Pischei Tshuva, one of the Dayanim from Vilna, the Mishnah Berurah, quotes the Pischei Tshuva every so often. A little tiny sefer. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes this machlekes from the Kori Hadat. So that's the same shaila about the taking down the sukkah, or about cutting the Kori Hadat, Dalet Tes. It's somebody, Reb Daniel Ditrani. It's not Das, the Kori Hadat. The Achranim always got a likud. He's a malakis. He quotes different sets. So this one is not a likud. This only states in the Kari Hadat. He had a machlekes with the Bnei HaYeshiva. What's the din to take down the sukkah on Hashanah Rabbah when you know for sure you're not going to need it anymore? So machlekes hagdolim, whether that's also the pashtus and tesis is in sukkah, that is a violation of huktzim mitzvahs. Huktzim mitzvahs is violated if you get hanor, or if you mavatel et mitzvahs. So that's a shah. Let's say to cut the yesrig, to see how thick the skin is. So usually cut it in such a way that you pasal the yesrig. Right. You pasal the yesrig is many rishonim hold that's a violation of huktzim mitzvahs.
It doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, well, you want to know whether these are shregim are good for next year.
The Babashev go around with a sukkah and they put up a sukkah one place, and then they take it away on the wagon and they take it to another place. Is that permissible?
Well, they take down the sukkah.
No, they put down a sukkah on 108th Street. We stay there for an hour or two, then they take the sukkah on the wagon and they go another place. The Queen Boulevard.
They take it on the wagon?
Yeah, the whole sukkah.
It doesn't have a shear.
A portable sukkah.
And it's not doesn't have the Heksha sukkah while it's on the wagon?
Yeah.
Probably has Heksha sukkah.
I can sit in the sukkah like on the wagon.
Yeah, you go up on the wagon.
Some are still a sukkah.
I don't know, maybe it's folded up.
If it's folded up, then you have a problem.
So then you can move it.
Someone is going hiking, and he has a portable collapsible sukkah with him.
Yeah.
So are you allowed to do that? He put it up lechatchila das to take it down soon after. So maybe that's not a violation of hooks in the mitzvah. So let's say a person has an esrig, the Gemara has, a person has an esrig for each day of sukkahs, a different esrig. The Gemara talks about it. So if he plans only to use it for that day, you don't say it's hooks in the mitzvah for all 7 days. But what about after he already used it for the mitzvah that day? He doesn't plan to use it again the same day. You do say it's hooked mitzvah to the end of the day. Or do you say, no, he only designated it for one use. So maybe if he only designated it to use it once, maybe then you don't say hooked to the mitzvah. So let's say if you have a collapsible sukkah, would you say that's a violation of hooked to the mitzvah? He only put it up by daita that it should be up for an hour. He wants to have a sandwich, then he wants to fold it up again.
I think Moses say talk about esrig that was cut down and ate a piece, and they made. So what?
If he cut a little bit, but rive of the esrig is still kayam, so then it's kosher the other days. But if he cut the whole esrig in half, esrig achoser is kosher the other days. But if it's missing a lot, then it's not kosher the other days. Then it's a chatichas esrig. Used to bite into the esrog a little bit, and then he would be able to demonstrate that chaser is kosher. Rav Chanina metabel bo v'nothik bo. What do you say? The mechaber has 2 days. That's the machlekes, yeah. That's the machlekes. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's because the sukkah, you sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So, Simchas Torah is a hook to the mitzvah from Shmini Atzeres. And then if the next day is Sunday, so then you have the machlekes. But by the yesterday, everything is one day earlier. Yeah. Okay, so again, the Mishnah here on Chafal Hanbeis, the Mishnah mentions that Rabbi Gamliel used to be machmer like Beishamai Shita. Usually we don't recommend that at all. Usually Gemara says it's not proper to be machmer like Beishamai. But he personally was machmer like the Beishamai on three issues. So the first one, we had three interpretations of what it was, that he wouldn't do hatmone on chamin, on warm soup, or on hot water, on yontif for Shabbos. The three pshatim, Rav Huna and Abaye and Rav. And the second thing that it was machmer was, ein zeik finis hamanorah biyontif. It sounds like he has a leichter that's laying down like this, a leichter that's laying sideways, and he sets it up like this, and he puts in the candles. He's not allowed to set up a leichter. The Gemara says, what's wrong? What's it take a ton? My kovid, the Gemara asks. 15 lines from the top of Chabez Menah. My kovid, what did he do? He just takes a menorah that's laying sideways, and he puts it like this. And for the Gemara, hachav menorah shel chuyas askin and the mechzik kibayna. We're talking that it's a menorah that has different pieces that you screw the pieces together. You put them all together. So that's a shaila binyan. So what's the machlokes? Merzik kibayna, like a marisayin. It's not really bayna. Marisayin a bayna. The bishamis davi yesh binyan bikelim yesh stira bikelim. The b'silas sayin ain't binyan bikelim, the ain stira bikelim. Bishamai hold that there is binyan bikelim. So if you have a menorah shel prakim and you screw it together, it's a merzik kibayna. Because if you would make a real menorah, that would be binyan deraisa. So klishol prokim is a mechzik kibayna midrabban. The Sillah say there's no binyan bekelim at all. There's no binyan deraisa bekelim. So there's no marisayin. There's no mechzik kibayna at all.
I can make a whole table on according to the Sillah. I mean, according to the Sillah, no binyan bekelim.
Yeah.
I could go and construct
that
table.
No, they don't be makabah patish. They don't be makabah patish.
But if the legs are missing, I can screw it back in. If the leg
right, if it's a klisha prokin, let's say if you have a television, you need an expert to screw it back together. Or if you have a computer, or you have an automobile, and you have to have a mechanic who knows how to put it all together. So that's not called a klisha prokin. If you need an uman lahachazira, that's the ran in Masech Shabbos has, and it's a din in Hilchas Tumas Kalim like that. If you have a klisha prokin, that a head yet yochel achzira, like they advertise on the convertible sofa, a six-year-old child can open it and close it. You don't have to be a mumchi. You don't have to go to a special graduate school in order to know how to assemble it. So if you need a mumche lahachzira, so then it's mamish asiyas kli mechadosh. So then for sure it will be us. Either Rashi says it will be an Isra Makaba Patish, but it will never be Boina. When you make I make a table or a chair, it's not Boina, Rashi says Makaba Patish. And Taisus disagrees with Rashi. They say no, the only time that they still say Ein Binyan Bekelim, Ein Stir Bekelim is if you have a Kli Shel Prokim and you screw it back together. But if you make a Kli Mechadosh, it's either Makaba Patish or Boina. Taisus says that it would be Boina if you make Yesh Meyayin a Kli.
So if a screw falls out from a table,
yeah,
you're allowed to take that screwdriver and screw it in?
No, that's a Gemara. If you're mahadik it tightly, then it is a malacha. What is the malacha? So that's a shaila. Rashi says that it's makabah patish, it'll never be baina because it's not binyan mikelim. Taisa says no, it's baina. If you have binyan goma bikli, you make yesh meyayin, or you mahadik it, you do it tightly, then it will be baina, or it'll be makabah patish. Then the Gemara says if it's a screw that normally would have been tightened, you would normally tighten it, let's say in the glasses. That's how the Achrenim talk. The glasses, the pin falls out and everything falls apart. So normally when you put the screw back in, you would tighten it. So not only is it forbidden to do it in a tight fashion, it's forbidden midirabon, and that's the end of Perek Kirin, the third Perek in Shabbos. You're not even allowed to screw it in lightly. Xer Shema Yiska. Shema, you'll be mahadigit. Maybe you'll do it tightly, and if you do it tightly, then it's an Issa derais. It doesn't mean that everything, let's say I close a bottle and I don't want the bubbles to go out, I close it tightly. That's not the makabah patish. That's the way you use it. That's the hishtamshus of the thing.
You have jigsaw, you put pieces together.
Would that
be like
a
similar
to
tighten it together?
No. That's a shaila of kosei. If you're right, or if you draw a picture, the Rambam says that's also kosei. Machlek is Rashi and the Rambam. So the Rambam writes, if you draw a picture, it's also kosher. Rashi doesn't agree. But the Shulchan Aruch says like the Rambam, that if you draw a picture, it's also kosher. So that's a shaila. If you put together a puzzle and you made a picture, is that a violation of kosher? So some poskim say, if you put it together, then you're going to knock it apart. After half an hour, you're going to take it. You just did it for fun. You're going to take it apart, so then it's not kosher. But if you're going to leave it like that, sometimes the children leave it like that, they put tape on top and they laminate it and hang it up on the wall. You're going to leave it for a while to show everybody, because then it's a Shiloh Christ.
The screw and pulls out is the most good.
Screw that falls out should be mukta. I don't think so. A button that falls off in the middle of Shabbos Yom Tov, state that it's not mukta. If it fell off on Erev Shabbos, I think it's mukta. But if it falls off in the middle of Shabbos, it was part of a beged, part of a kliyan Shabbos. So
you
then
can pick
it's
it up and
yeah.
Put it in your pocket.
Yeah, you can't carry it if there's no Erev. You can't carry it. But it says if it falls off on Shabbos Yom Tov, it's not considered mukta. Yeah. So Nachum also said the Gemara says over here. So the Gemara says that the machlek is b'shame b'sil, where the zog from the menorah ain't zog from the menorah, is not a shaila. The menorah is lying flat and you straighten it out. No, that's not an issue at all. You're going to screw not screw together tightly, you're going to put together different pieces to construct the menorah. A klishal prokim, and we pass them like b'sil of that it's hetagom. Ain binyam b'kelim. B'shame make a gzer the rabbana mechzi kibayna. And we pass them like the b'sil of that it's mutter. What is Tosis? Raise an issue. An umbrella is not really a klishal prok. An umbrella is because of ha'ahola, that you're making a ceiling. Yeah, oil is a tolda boina. Boina means binyan kavua, and oil by definition means aroi. So in order to violate bone, bone is one of the 39 malachas on Shabbos. So min ha'tor, it's only a malacha if you do binyan kavua. It's only the Aroi, it's not an Issa Derais, it's only the Rabbonim. So that Aroi is called Ohel. Ohel Aroi is awesome, the Rabbonim. So that's the Shaila. Is that called Ohel Aroi? Because he made things. So years ago, they didn't have umbrellas like we have. They used to have a makeshift umbrella. You took a stick and you took a piece of cloth and you held it like this and like that and you made an umbrella. So that was oil. That was a Shaila of oil. That was a shayla of oil aroi. But oil aroi is also the shayla. But now they manufacture umbrellas. You buy it in the store. You just push the button. You go like this, and it opens up. So that's what the Nodi Behuda talks about. That once they ready manufacture umbrellas, there is a gemara at the end of Shabbos that seems to, like it says, that if the thing is already all manufactured, it's all set up. You're not doing anything. You're opening the thing that's already manufactured like that.
Like you open up
the Gemara seems to say that that's mutter. Yeah, you open up the table.
Yeah.
The Gemara seems to say that that's mutter. So if it's mutter, so what's wrong with using an umbrella on Shabbos? First Israel has a long arichas on Mishnayos. So many hold this taka mutter. So the Oysim say it's also because it's not Shabbosdik. Shabbosdik is that you get sopping wet. Shabbosdik is that you get sopping wet. What do you mean it's not? What's wrong? What's the violation? It's not Shabbosdik, very shver. But Mikir Adin, it really shouldn't be Ohel, because like the Chazanish writes about, if you have a baby carriage, so the Chazanish writes, they manufacture the baby carriages with the hood. So it's not necessary to have the hood stretched out of Tefach. The Gemara has that one of the Amaroim, one of the Balabatim had behemoths, so in the daytime he wanted them to be in the shade. And at night time, you don't need any shade. The sun is not shining. He wanted them to have fresh air. So he used to roll a canvas roof on top, like a shlak, on top of the corral where the behemoths were in the daytime to make the shade. And at night time, he took it off. So the shayla was on Shabbos mornings, he allowed to put it, the shayla for oil aroi. Tosefus ol aroi is mutter, but maybe this is called oise mechadish. The Gemara says, if it's stretched out a tefach, then he can stretch it out all the way. But if it's not even stretched out a tefach, flat, then it's not good. Let's say it's all rolled up and the whole thing is rolled up, it's a tentfachim. That doesn't count. It has to be stretched out a tefach. Aside from the part that's rolled out. This is a din midirabbanan. Like an awning. So the Chazanish writes, but if it's all a contraption that's all attached already, an awning, a baby carriage, then he says, based on the Gemara, it doesn't have to be stretched out a tefach. He says that's the way they manufacture it. That's not a violation of oil. Moshe has a tshuva that somebody asked him, what does he say about the Chazanish's kula, about the baby carriages? So he says, no one follows the Chazanish on this. We all know that he's wrong, and it's not even worth writing a tshuva why he's wrong. Just like this. It's a davar yadua that no one follows it, so he doesn't have to write a tshuva. And I don't know, I thought the Chazanish quotes a Gemara. I thought it's a Gemara. That's the umbrellas. That's what the Nadi Buddha said, the umbrellas. They manufacture it like that, so how can it be an Issa?
But we don't use umbrellas.
The minig is we don't use umbrellas, and it's a shver amaisa. Why? When they didn't have, then it was taka and oil aroi. Then it was a shayla, oil aroi. But now that they manufacture them, it's a problem. There were some places in Germany where they had an Erev in the Kehillah. So he used to have the guy would stand in front of the shul and open up everyone's umbrella and he would give it to them. So the, he did the malach of the oil, and then the balabatim, would, they would carry it in the air. The oil was made already. There's no easy to carry because there was an air.
Wasn't the end of Shmuel Shabbos that someone had a hat that was too wide, the one that
there are some who are, we are machmer on that. Yeah, the Gemara has a din, it is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. If your brim is more than a tefach wide, that means you're not allowed to wear the hat, so you're not allowed to wear a talus over the hat, something like that. That's, it is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Our hats are not so wide, right, but years ago in Europe, a lot of the hats were
very wide.
Of
course,
you should use somebody who had to cut off, cut around.
Because it was too wide. Yeah. Yeah.
Our hats, now they make the hats are white.
A tefach of white, yeah.
Yes.
I think the Gemara says to wear the hat per se is not an issue. The Gemara says to wear a talus over the hat. That's a problem. That's a problem. So that's why some Rabbanim years ago, he used to wear such wide, they came from Europe with such wide hats. So on Shabbos and Yontif, in many communities, the minhag was that the Rav would also wear the hat during the davening. He wouldn't wear the talus over his head. In Eastern Europe, they wore the talus over their head. But in, not in all places. I think Rav Chaim in many, many shuls, they wore a top hat.
Yeah.
On Shabbos and Yom Tov, during the davening, the Rabbanim wouldn't wear the talus over their heads. So in some communities where the minhag was that the practice was they had very wide hats, so they would take off the hat when they did atifas atalus, because otherwise there would be a shaila, the talus would be more than a tefach wide. And then after the atifas atalus, then they would put the hat back on. They wouldn't do the atifas atalus with the hat on because of that sif in Shulchan Aruch. That's a gemara in the end of Shem. A chashash of ohel. Yeah, the hat itself is not the issa. Even though the hat is white, it's not an issa. The hat, the gemara has on that daf a different thing. If the hat is if the hat is wide and it doesn't sit well on your head, there's a chashash that it may be blown away by the wind.
Then you will
unless it's tied on like a cowboy, unless it's tied like a bonnet on the bonnet. But if it's not tied, so then it depends. Sometimes the hat sits, the head sits into the hat, so there's no chashash that it's going to blow away. And some people wear the hat to higher up on the head. So if you wear it high up on the head and it's not tied down on the bottom, then there's a chashash will be blown away by the wind. That's one gemara. And the end of Shabbos. Then there's another gemara in the same daf, but the gemara says another chashash. If the hat, if the brim is a tefach wide, then you're not allowed to put a talus on top of it because the talus is an ohel midirabbanim. So those rabbanim who wore the hat during davening on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they used to do ativas and talus. They would take off the hat for the ativas and talus, then put it back on.
So the
brim afterwards.
Of the tefach is not an
oil,
but the talus on top of the brim.
The talus on top of it is the chashash oil, because the hat itself is the beged. I
don't know. That's the thing that they put on the hat. You know, you see hats, they have a new.
Yeah.
That used to be that you should put it into your thing. In case it blows, it shouldn't blow away. That used to put it into your belt. Yeah. Now they do it, nobody uses it, but they can still have that.
Nobody uses it this way now.
Huh?
Nobody uses it.
Nobody
uses
it. Yeah.
So Taisus here has a steer between two gemaras. Our gemara says Aliba de Beisil that you are permitted to put together a kli shel prokin. A menorah shel prokin made binyan a steer bekele. And Taisus says Akasha, there is a gemara Masecha Shabbos here. The second Taisus from the top. There is a gemara Masecha Shabbos in the third parak in Kira. And Daf Mem Vav, where the Gemara says, if you have a menorah, shel chulius, a kli with different pieces, you're not allowed to put it together. So how does it stem with our Gemara? So Taisus has two terutzim. Shaila, how to read the Taisus. So one terut they give is, Beitza is talking about Yontif, and Shabbos is talking about Shabbos. So kli shel prokim on Shabbos, you're not allowed to open, not allowed to put it together. And on Yontif is muta, nalaz mikra din derais, it's always muta, beim Shabbos, beim Yontif. And on Shabbos, when machmen midirabbanan, besilul is machmen midirabbanan, then a menorah shel chulius from different pieces, you're not allowed to put it together. That's one answer. Chilek in Shabbos and Yontif.
Why do you makabapadish?
Makabapadish apparently is only when you manufactured melech hatchila, but here it's already manufactured, it's just putting it together. That's not the makabapadish. It's just a shaila from bonan midirabbanan. The second answer Taisus gives is, it depends, is it a convertible sofa, all the pieces are attached, let's say, menorah shel prokin, menorah shel chulyas, all the pieces are attached, except that when you're not lighting the menorah, so it's in a relaxed position. When you want to light the menorah, you put it and you straighten it up, but they're all connected. So if they're all connected, like a convertible sofa, like a folding table. So you take up one leg, another leg, another leg, and then you take the legs over here and the top is over there, you put them together. It's all attached. If it's all attached, then our Gemara says that it's muta. That's what it means, a klishal prokim is muta. But if they're separate pieces, then you're not allowed to. So this is a shaila. What about a convertible sofa on Shabbos? The first day in Taisus that said it's a chilek in Shabbos versus Yontif.
So came to Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to use it.
The first day it does not distinguish at all between the two. So they mean to say that a convertible sofa is also to open up on Shabbos? That's what Rabban Soloveitchik had. Rabban Soloveitchik said the first day in Taisus does not distinguish between whether it's attached or not attached. So he said the first day in Taisus would say you're not allowed to open up a convertible sofa, you're not allowed to open up a folding table on Shabbos. That's what he was machmer about. That Pashtus, usually people assume not so.
Exactly.
To put a leaf into the table. No, the table is already a kli. To put a leaf is mutter. That's not a problem. It already is a kli. I'm just making it a little bigger. That's Tosefis Oil Aroi. That's mutter. Unless you scratch it in, when you add the leaf on, so sometimes you mahadig it tightly. I don't even think it's so tight. Sometimes it is very tight.
There's no screwing.
It's not so tight.
Just to line it up.
I don't think that's a problem. It's only if it's mamish, you're putting different pieces together. So that's a shaila. I think the Velt assumes not like our Baron Soloveitchik. I think it's usually assumed that the first day in Taisus would not be machmer on that. The first day in Taisus was only machmer on Shabbos if it's separate pieces.
Separate pieces.
And then on Shabbos they're machmer. On Yontif they say that's also mutter. And the second day is machmer. The second day was machmer. If it's separate pieces, you put it together, that you're not allowed to do even on Yontif. And if it's all together, it's mutter even on Shabbos. Why? Midirabbanan. The first day says Midirabbanan, so you mach more on Shabbos than on Yom Tov. Yeah.
But the convertible sofa, you can't possibly put it apart. So it's a difference than the one on Yom Tov. There is no possibility of making it a steel.
The menorah is not falling apart either.
It is one thing.
Shaila, is this called boneh? When you convert it to make it into a bed.
That consists of opinion, you can do a steel. Then maybe it's different than a convertible sofa, the only thing you can do is opening it up. Can you pull it apart? That's Baina.
You can have Baina even if you can't have Saisa.
Yeah.
It's possible to violate Baina without Saisa. The Gemara says if you take milk and you take out the
cheese,
particles, you make cheese out of it, so that's Baina. So some of the Achrayim ask a kashan, if you eat cheese, it's going to be Saisa. It's a silly kasha. It's not a kasha. That's not the opposite of
that. So
if you would take the cheese and make it back into milk, maybe that would be a kasha. That would be size. So anyway, so the answer to that kasha, the Vilna Gaon says the answer. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bir Agra and Orach Haim, who says the answer. He doesn't talk about the cheese. That's an Irish kasha. But he talks about another similar kasha. Says the answer is that not every case that there's boina does necessarily follow that the opposite to undo with a soisa. To get multi echetim to that, to do it is boina, and to undo it is not soisa. It can be convertible soisa is boina, but it's not going to be soisa. It's not going to be soisa. Yeah. The opening Rashi on the Chumash Bereishis, Rav Soloveitchik, used to say, is mamish like the United Nations today, that the Umas Soilim are complaining, listen, Matem, that the Bnei Yisrael are gazlonim. That we stole Eretz Yisrael from the Arabs, that it belongs to them.
The Jews are saying the same thing.
Yeah, the Jews are saying it. Yeah, we listened to the Umas Olam so long that we convinced ourselves that there must be some truth to it. How can it be that so many people are condemning Medinas Yisrael and there's no truth to it? So we've talked into ourselves that there must be a Mikzah Semes here. So that's what the Rashi quotes from the famous Medrash, Amar Rab Yitzchok. The Torah should really begin from Achodesh HaZalachem when it starts giving the mitzvahs to the Klal Yisrael. You have a few mitzvahs in Bereishis. You have a Milah, and you have Yes. You only have three mitzvahs. So what do you need all the stories? What do you need the whole Bria Shemaim? We don't understand anything anyway here.
Yeah.
From Bria Shemaim, where the whole thing is all Sisrei Torah. So the Medrash says the reason why the Rabban Shalom wrote it is in order to teach us. There's the Yom HaSoylem will complain that we're listening. So we say, no, it says in the Bible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he's the Balabas. He has the right to give Eretz Yisrael to whomever he wants. Originally he allowed the Nochem to live there. Then it came a point he gave to Avram Avinu. And from that time on it belongs to the Bnei Yisrael. So the Veltrek Takasha on this Medrash that Rashi quotes, how is this going to satisfy? What? We're talking about people who believe in the Bible?
Right.
So it says in the Bible that Avraham Avinu, that Rabbi Shalom gave the Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. So why does it have to say Bereishis? Right, what do you need Bereishis for? So if you're talking to people who do believe in what it says in the Bible, so it says later. Talk to people who don't believe, so they won't believe that God created the world either. So the Nesivis talks about this in the Sefer HaChumash and the Nachlas Yankiv. In our generation, we understand the Torah is talking to us. So it's not talking to the non-believer, the Torah talks to us. The Torah wants to chazer this ikir. It's an important, we shouldn't think that because the whole United Nations condemned the Jewish people that we are gazlan. We're not gazlanim. The Rabbi Shalom created the world and it belongs to him and he gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. Is it proper to be mevater? Is it proper to be mevater on Eretz Yisrael? Maybe we should give him Eretz Yisrael so we shouldn't have to do shvichas domim. So that's not, the halacha says you don't have to. The halacha says not about Eretz Yisrael. The halacha says stam. I don't have to be mevater on my property. Let's say a person above a machteres comes to steal my property. Right. So if I'll lock myself into my bedroom and I'll protect myself and I'll allow the ganef to steal everything, so I won't have to cause any bloodshed. What am I allowed to take my gun and run downstairs and shoot? Make him into a raitiv. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's what it says in the Chumash. You're permitted to make the person into a raitiv, and therefore you're allowed to kill him. Abola harga chashkim larga, even though he's not abola harga, he's just, if you'll resist, then he'll become a raitiv. You're permitted to resist and to make him into a raitiv in order to kill him. So that's if he's coming to steal my television, he's coming to steal my silver. What is coming to steal Eretz Yisrael? So that's called the Mochemes Mitzvah. Whatever else may or may not be a Mochemes Mitzvah, but if Eretz Yisrael is in Jewish control, to give it away to the Yom HaSoylam just because of bloodshed, just because they're tumbling, that's exactly what a Mochemes Mitzvah is all about. You're not allowed to give it away, unless you're not convinced that you're going to win the war. But if a Medinas Yisrael has an army and they're convinced that they are going to win a war, then you mechuyev to go to war for that. Not to go to war. You mechuyev to defend your land. Whatever Bayul Masalim is the reshus. Let's say if Russia would come to America and say, we're not going to kill anybody, just give us the whole Medina. And if you resist, then we're going to kill. So America has a prayer. They have an option. If they want, they can become ICE, the United States, cancel the charter, no more United States, and we'll give everything over to Russia. And if they want, they have a right to resist. So any other country has a right to resist. It's optional. They're permitted to wage war over this issue to maintain their sovereignty. So when Eretz Yisrael is under Jewish control, we have a chiyuv. That's the Mochemes Mitzvah, to maintain control in Eretz Yisrael. The pilpul that Poskim had was there a mitzvah to establish a Medina? Was there a mitzvah to establish a Medina in 1948? Were we mechuyev to go to war, to lose lives in order to establish Medinas Yisrael? So the Ramban says, yeah. So that was the pilpul. Should we accept the opinion of the Ramban or not? But that's lachar amaisa already. There is a Medinas Yisrael. So the Satmar Rebbe wrote and kept on preaching that we weren't allowed to, and therefore we have a chiyuv to dismantle the Medina. So the Stipler writes, with all due respect, he thinks that that's utterly ridiculous. You're not allowed to create a mamza. You're not allowed to be bald, but you created a mamza. So you go kill the mamza? What do you mean? It's a human being. It's a Ben Yisrael. How can you kill? You did an aver. Even if you were naniach, that you did an aver in establishing the Medina. The Satmar Rebbe thinks it is an aver. But now it's a Yiddish Medina. It belongs to the Jews. So what do you mean you should dismantle it? It's an aver. If the Medina is under Jewish control, so it's not only a reshus that you have a right to defend your property, even by making the other person into a raitiv, and thereby waging a war and killing the Sachiv. That's exactly what Mochemes Mitzvah. If you're convinced that you're going to win the war, if you're not convinced you're going to win the war, so there's no mitzvah to fight a losing war. It's not Yehar Gvayaber. Yehar Gvayaber means that there are certain issues that you have to put up a fight, even if you think you're going to lose, even if you know you're going to lose. Vaday. Medinas Yisrael is Nishken Yehar Gvayaber. But if you're convinced that you're going to win the war, then you are mechuyif to fight the war. Rahmana Litzlan.